This program does not create an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any caller or listener. Please remember that we can only give general information, and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns. If you are in need of specific legal advice or are looking for an attorney, please do not hesitate to give Moss and Barnett a call at 612-877-5000.
This is WCCO's Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
Good morning. We are live at the Doubletree in Bloomington, Highway 100 and 494. Minnesota Law is underway from our pre-retirement expo, and the doors are open now until 6. We invite you to stop by and say hello. Tom Scheuer is our host today. We're joined by Cindy Ackerman, and Tom, we have a great topic today.
It's true, Steve, and we are delighted to have Cindy Ackerman back with us again for she's almost a regular on the show now, talking about trusts and estates, probate, and all aspects of estate planning, retirement planning. Cindy, good morning and welcome back.
Great. Thanks. It's a pleasure to be back, Tom.
It's kind of fun to see all the folks out here live and to be doing it here, don't you think?
Absolutely. There's a lot of good energy here today.
We are talking about pre-retirement planning from a legal standpoint with Cindy Ackerman, who is a five-star wealth manager, recognized estate planner here in the Twin Cities. It's an interesting award because it's given not by lawyers, but it's given by financial professionals. The five-star wealth manager award is therefore quite distinguished for a lawyer to get. Cindy, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
And Cindy, of course, is with our estate planning and trust planning group at Moss and Barnett, and her focus of her practice is on estate planning. Today we're going to be talking about basic estate planning with an emphasis on estate planning for folks in the pre-retirement demographic. And Cindy, how would we define that?
Well, I think it's, individuals that are 50 to 64 years of age that are at the top of their careers and they're starting to think about the next stage of their life.
Sure, that's a natural time to start doing that. Is there a lot of difference, major difference between estate planning for folks at that level of their lives as opposed to prior or later?
The basics are the same for anyone, but there might be different focuses for someone who is 50 to 64 years of age versus someone who is younger who maybe has a young family.
There are going to be takeaways here today for people at all ages, in other words.
Absolutely.
All right. And Cindy, I know that this comes up with some regularity in my life and maybe in your professional life as well, and that people are going to be wondering, why should I see a lawyer about an estate plan when I can go on the internet and download a program for maybe for free these days? What concerns would people have in mind when they are shopping on the internet for an estate plan versus coming in to see a lawyer?
Well, the deal with the internet forms is you don't know where they're originated. And so each state has unique estate and probate laws. And so if you have a California form and you're trying to use it in Minnesota, it's not going to work. So if you want to use a form off the internet, you should at least have an attorney in the state where you reside review it to make sure that it's consistent.
I would imagine, too, that there some of these estate plans get to be, let's face it, rather complex, involved. You don't want to have inconsistent documentation going if you're going to do a will and a trust.
That's right, and you certainly don't want to open the door for anyone to object or contest later on.
I think people wonder sometimes, I've raised my children, again now talking about the pre-retirement age group, I've raised my children or they're college age, I don't have the same concerns I did before, do I really still need a will?
Well, because this is my profession, my answer is yes, you at least need a will, or perhaps you would want to consider using a revocable trust because you want to control how your assets are going to be distributed at your death, and you want to make provisions for your family members, and there are other reasons to use, for example, a revocable trust.
Sure, now maybe turning the question around, let's say I've had a will since when I was first married or had children or whatever, and now I'm along in my years, as in fact I am, is this a good time for me to start looking at updating a will and considering it, maybe adding a trust or some other aspects to it.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times the clients come in and they say, well, our children are growing now, and the last time we had a will, they were, you know, young, and the provisions for a trust are not necessarily applicable. On the other hand, we've had clients say that, you know, their children are not achieving as they had hoped, and that maybe we don't want them to receive the funds as fast as our current plan says, that we need to do something different.
We'll be talking more about setting up trusts for children, but I suppose also at this stage of life that we're talking about for pre-retirement era, that people are starting to think about grandchildren and how they might want to plan for the devolution of their estates to their grandkids.
Yes, and actually, Tom, I was amazed to learn that based on the 2009 census from the Census Bureau, 7.8 million minor children live with one grandparent as their primary caregiver. And that's a 64% increase from 1991.
And one of the things, Cindy, you hear so often is people don't want to be a burden to their children or their grandchildren. But if they don't have a plan, that they can be a burden in that way. Not having a plan is a bad idea.
Yes, because you're essentially leaving it up to the state to decide, you know, how, what kind of care you're going to receive, you know, while you're living, and how your assets are going to be distributed at your death.
And I don't think a lot of people would like that idea. So get a plan and make sure that it's not up to the court, not up to probate to decide all of this.
Yes, that's right. And not only that, is that if you're living and you have issues because of the privacy laws now, it's very difficult for someone, you know, like a child, to talk to the doctor about your care or to talk to the bank about your finances. And so you need those documents in place to help them do that.
Sure. Still, a lot of folks still basically very healthy at the age group we're talking about, 50 to 65. So not necessarily thinking about those kinds of, health care and end of life issues yet.
True, but you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Believe me. Of course, again, back to the issue of grandchild or grandchildren, we see more and more folks who are, as you say, being thrust into the role of caring for grandchildren for one reason or another, divorce, death, disability of a parent. How can folks in the pre-retirement age group start to think about the possibility that they may end up being caregivers for their grandkids?
Well, first of all, I only want to talk about the two legal issues. There are so many issues about becoming the primary caregiver for a grandchild, and there are a couple of good websites. The first one is Generations United. It's at www.gu.org. And then the Senior Law Project at the Legal Aid Society of Minneapolis at www.mylegalaid.org.
Those are good resources for folks who are facing this issue?
Right, and it covers all the issues, you know, dealing with the school, dealing with the medical issues. But what I'd like to talk about now is just, you know, legally, you know, if you're a grandchild, if you end up having your grandchild in your home, and you don't have legal authority to make decisions for the grandchild, you don't have authority to go to the school and find out what's going on, you don't have authority to make medical decisions, that you need some document to allow you to do that.
Go ahead.
And so one way, and of course the state has an interest in protecting children, and so there is a limited ability for you to get access without going to court. But there is a power of attorney that you can get for a year to take care of your grandchild, and then after that year, if it's going to be longer term, you really do need to apply to the court for legal custody.
And who signs that power of attorney, that short-term power of attorney?
It would be the parent of the grandchild.
We have more on the way. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Today in the spotlight is estate planning for pre-retirees. Tom Schroyer hosting Cindy Ackerman. We're live at the DoubleTree Hotel in Bloomington, Highway 100 and 494. And the doors are open on our pre-retirement expo until 6 o'clock today. We invite you to stop out and say hello. Of course, this event sponsored by Wealth Enhancement Group, University of Minnesota Physicians, AARP, and Buick GMC. There's a lot of displays and exhibits and seminars. And, of course, there are prize drawings as well. and there's wine tasting at our pre-retirement expo here at the Doubletree in Bloomington. Once again, Highway 100 and 494. Doors are open until 6. We invite you to stop out and say hello. Minnesota Law will continue in a moment. Presented by Moss and Barnett each and every Saturday between 11 and noon. Here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Don't make a federal case out of it. Did you know Minnesota has federal courts located in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and Fergus Falls?
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett each and every Saturday between 11 and noon. By the way, if you want to learn more about today's program and all our programs, go online. It is moss-barnett.com. That's moss-barnett.com. Tom Schroyer hosting Cindy Ackerman today. Estate planning for pre-retirees in the spotlight. And we are live at the Pre-Retirement Expo at the Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington, Highway 100 and 494. We invite you to stop by. There's a lot going on. Prizes to be given away, exhibit seminars all day long. Doors are open now until 6 o'clock, so we'd love to see you out here. Tom and Cindy, a great topic, and we should put those phone numbers out if people have a question for Cindy on today's topic. Feel free to call 651-989-9226. Toll free, 1-866-989-9226. And your phone calls and texts are always welcome here on Minnesota Law. Tom?
Thanks, Steve. We're talking with Cindy Ackerman, a five-star wealth management estate planner at Moss and Barnett. Cindy is covering the basics of estate planning with the perspective, or from the perspective, of folks in the pre-retirement age category, roughly 50 to early 60s. Cindy, it was interesting to me to find out in our offline preparation that there are more and more folks who are coming to see us about estate planning, and they're presenting themselves as unmarried couples.
That's right. I've had several times a client come in at, you know, because of a probate need, because one of the partners has passed away. And it's very sad because unmarried partners do not have the same protection under the Minnesota law as married spouses do. There's no protection, a minimum amount that has to be left to a spouse, family maintenance, the homestead protection. And so it's very important for unmarried couples to have planning in place.
What kinds of issues are you seeing?
Well, for example, if each spouse has, you know, each couple has, you know, the, for example, the home is in one person's name, and that person dies, there's no protection for the surviving partner, and the house actually would pass according to the law for that deceased partner. So, for example, if they have no will, it means that it's going to go to that deceased person's heirs at law, which could be parents, siblings, nieces and nephews, and not to the surviving partner.
So it's particularly important for folks in that situation to make sure that they have a will.
Absolutely. And I also want to mention, not only have a will, because there are other ways to get around a will. If there's what we call non-probate asset planning. And so we could designate each other as a joint tenant, as a pay-on-death beneficiary. And for real estate now, Minnesota enacted what we call the transfer-on-death deed, which allows you to own the home in your name alone and then designate a beneficiary to receive the house at your death.
That's a relatively new feature of our law.
Absolutely.
And that has been something that's been used a lot or starting to be used more and more?
It's starting to be used more as we learn how to work with it and what situations it works best for.
But it has to be done before one of the parties expires.
Absolutely.
All right. I suppose then there are the whole range of ways to avoid probate that would apply to unmarried couples too, such as jointly owned property and other accounts.
Yes, life insurance and retirement benefits.
Life insurance, does that play a big role in estate planning?
Yes, I mean, we look at life insurance as an investment. And so if it works for, you know, for example, for people that are in the 50 to 64, they're not really thinking that they're going to protect their younger children.
All right, so that's the key point. You're looking at it as an investment rather than for protection of a spouse or a family.
Right. Well, if you have a spouse, you probably would want some life insurance.
Right.
Or if you're an unmarried partner, you would certainly want, you know, maybe some life insurance to protect that person.
People might be wondering, you know, is life insurance really a good idea at getting on in years? Wouldn't it be pretty expensive to buy?
That may be. I think that's just a financial decision that needs to be made in looking at the whole plan that you have and all of your assets and whether it makes sense for your situation.
Certainly, Moss and Barnett, our estate planning folks, work with financial professionals to make sure that that is integrated with an estate plan.
Yes, we usually work as a team.
Okay. That leads me to asking about are there differences between the state laws in terms of unmarried folks and what happens when they pass away?
Well, there is, you know, if you're unmarried and you are, it's a, you know, man and woman couple, there is no common law marriage in Minnesota, so there is no protections that would be for a married spouse. If it's a same-sex couple, Minnesota did not grant, Minnesota, I should just say it this way, Minnesota doesn't grant full faith and credit to same-gender marriages. So if you go to New Hampshire and marry, you can't expect to receive spousal benefits in Minnesota.
All right. Another issue I imagine that comes up for folks when they're, as you say, at the top of their careers and looking forward to retirement might be to set up a gift, a charitable gift with their estate. Are there issues there that they should be starting to think about?
Yes. I mean, many people are charitably inclined, but especially in today's economy, there's a concern about making that permanent, irrevocable gift to a trust, to a charity, or a trust for the benefit of a charity, and losing the ability to receive the income on it. So some things we talk about is certain ways to plan around that so that you have some benefit. So for example, a gift annuity, where you would make a gift to the charity and the charity promises to pay you an annuity for the rest of your lifetime.
All right, we'll be coming back and following up more on charitable planning as we continue here with Minnesota Law.
And of course, Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, each and every Saturday between 11 and noon. Phone numbers on the program if you have a question for Cindy and Tom today, 651-989-9226, toll free, 1-866-989-9226. We are live at the Pre-Retirement Expo at the Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington. It is at Highway 100 and 494. We invite you to stop out. Doors are open until 6 today. There are displays, exhibits, there are vendors on hand. There's a wine tasting, there's prize drawings, etc. Once again, we invite you to stop out to the Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington today. Doors are open until 6 o'clock. And today's event brought to you by Wealth Enhancement Group, University of Minnesota Physicians, AARP, and Buick GMC. It is 11:28. We'll take a break. We'll have the weather and come back with more Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, here on News Radio 830 WCCO. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, each and every Saturday between 11 and noon. We took the show on the road to the Pre-Retirement Expo at the Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington. Doors are open until 6 today. We invite you to stop by. We're at the corner of Highway 100 and 494. Tom Schroyer is our host. Cindy Ackerman is joining us today. Estate planning for pre-retirees. And one note, if you want to call and talk to Cindy, if you have a question, feel free to do that. The number is 651-989-9226, toll free, 1-866-989-9226. Tom?
Steve, we're going to be talking this section of our program about thinking outside the box a bit in terms of leaving assets to a charity, a foundation, versus children or grandchildren. Cindy, there's a certain tension that comes into play here.
Absolutely. You know, the Forbes magazine of October 10th had an interview with Bill Gates regarding his private foundation, and Bill Gates was explaining that he had taken his children to Africa to show them what's being done. And the kids said, well, what does that mean to me? Aren't you saving this money for me? And he responded, and I'll quote, that you're very lucky that this money would ruin you, which we can say with a straight face. I certainly wouldn't have been as hardworking or as motivated if I'd been handed substantial sums of money. And, you know, I do hear this from other clients. In fact, I had a client say to me that he wanted his grandchildren hungry. He wants to give them some assistance, but he wants them hungry so that they are motivated to achieve and to be productive.
Are there ways to structure an estate plan so that there is a balance, maybe between some charitable giving and also between the desire to ensure the well-being and welfare of future generations?
Well, sure. What we've done is we've created incentive trusts. And so we work with the client to figure out how much they want to go to charity and then how much they want to leave for grandchildren and children. And we structure it in a trust that it's not an automatic right to receive income or assets from the trust. In fact, we're working with the client now to create a bank trust so that the children and grandchildren don't automatically get money, but they can borrow money from the trust for education or for investment into business ventures.
You had an interesting example of one of those trusts being set up actually to provide venture capital for the grandkids and future generations so that they could encourage and continue their entrepreneurialism.
That's right. It was to continue the spirit of the family's entrepreneurship.
And, of course, you see on the other side of it, of course, we all see in our legal practice, challenges that people have with handling a lot of money when it comes into their hands through inheritance or trust, loss of motivation and other sorts of unhealthy lifestyle issues.
That's right, and you know, they get large sums of money and they live high for a long time and all of a sudden the money's gone and they're lost because they don't know how to take care of themselves. And so we will structure a trust. For example, we would say that they bring a check, their W-2 to the trustee, and they get an equal amount of their earned income from the trust.
Now, I suppose in all of this, a lot of attention has to be given to who is selected to be the trustee, because they're going to be the ones, after all, who are going to have to enforce the terms of the trust, maybe to stand up to a son, a daughter, or a grandson or daughter who is trying to clamor for more money.
That's right, and so you're going to want somebody who can say no, and you want someone who is independent of the family, and you may need to think about a professional trustee or a family member not an immediate family member, but another family member or a friend.
I always think about the great movie Citizen Kane, and Charles Foster Kane was born into a family. They didn't have money, but gold was discovered on the property. And his mother set up a trust, and Charles Foster Kane couldn't get at any of that money until he turned 25. And there was someone who was a professional trustee that managed his affairs. Is that kind of what we're talking about? And by
yes.
the way, I love that movie.
Yes,
one of the all-time greats.
I'm ashamed to say I never saw that movie,
oh,
Steve.
You have to. Because it does talk about someone where a trust was set up and they couldn't tap into that money. Now, Charles Foster Kane abused that money, ultimately, when he came into control of it. But a big part of the story is about how this trustee, if you will, handled his affairs and built this fortune for Kane to eventually run into the ground.
Right, and on the other side, there's Bleak House by Charles Dickens, where there was a large trust, and the trustees mismanaged it and paid themselves until it was gone. And there are protections now against that, protections under the law that require notification to the trustee or to the beneficiary so that somebody is watching what the trustee's doing.
With the trustee, though, do they have a legal responsibility to follow the wishes of the person that set up the trust? I mean, could they get in trouble in the eyes of the court if they're like, well, that's not exactly what they meant. Here's an extra $1,000. I mean, do they have a duty to uphold the terms of the trust?
Absolutely. The intent of the trustor, is what we would say, is paramount. And so they are required to follow the terms of the trust. They're required to follow any guidance in the trust. And so we try to put, the purpose or the intent in the trust agreement so that the trustee knows what you know how they're supposed to manage the assets.
Now, does that cover, though, in the situation where somebody wants to put into a trust something that might govern a lifestyle, like you get the money only if you get married, or you have to practice a certain religion to earn the trust? How about those kinds of issues? Do they come up?
They do, and those types of restrictions are void against public policy. So, you know, generally, you cannot create a trust and say that I'll give you X dollars if you marry within your religion, or if you refrain from doing something that, or if you do something illegal.
We have more on the way. Great topic today. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Tom Scheuer hosting Cindy Ackerman, estate planning for pre-retirees. And we are live at the WCCO Pre-Retirement Expo at the DoubleTree in Bloomington. We're at the corner of Highway 100 and 494. We invite you to stop by. Doors are open until 6. We have a lot of exhibits. We have seminars, etc. And, of course, our live broadcast until noon today. The event is sponsored by Wealth Enhancement Group, the University of Minnesota Physicians, AARP, and Buick GMC. There are prize drawings, there's a wine tasting, and so much more. We invite you to stop out. We'll return in a moment. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Moss and Barnett, a history of excellence. Did you know Jesse Van Valkenburg opened his law office at 236 Hennepin Avenue in 1896, leaving Moss and Barnett with a legacy of professionalism that we honor from our offices on the 48th floor of the Wells Fargo Center in the heart of Minneapolis.
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Highway 100 and 494, doors are open until 6. We continue with Tom Scheuer and Cindy Ackerman in the spotlight today on Minnesota Law, estate planning for pre-retirees. And as always, we've seen our time go very quickly today, Tom.
It's true, Steve. And, of course, I'm getting kind of excited to go over to do some of the wine tasting here afterwards. That looks very good and very fun. And a lot of people out here. It's great to see folks out here at the DoubleTree in Bloomington. For the Pre-Retirement Expo. We're going to talk this section of our program on estate planning for pre-retirees with Cindy Ackerman about some looming changes in tax law, which are a reason really for people to start thinking again about updating their estate plans or establishing one for the first time.
That's right, Tom. The 2010 Tax Act enacted an unprecedented level of estate tax exemption for gift and estate tax of $5 million. And that's in effect for this year and next year. So you can give up to $5 million to your family, you know, to your children this year, free from gift tax. And we've been hearing some rumors that that number may be changing depending on what the super committee does. You may recall that there's a Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction that is meeting somewhat secretly to discuss areas to reduce the deficit. And their plan has to be announced by November 23rd, and then Congress has until December 23rd to vote it up or down. And one of the things that's possibly in that plan will be to reduce that $5 million exemption amount to possibly down to the $3.5 million estate tax exemption and a $1 million gift tax exemption, which was where we were at in 2009.
Now, how much can be given to a child in any given year under the exemption?
Well, each year you can give your child $13,000 free from gift tax. That's the annual gift tax exclusion. And then on top of that, you have a lifetime exemption amount, which this year is $5 million, next year is $5 million. If Congress does absolutely nothing, it'll go down to $1 million in 2013.
Well, what family members are covered by that? Could an aunt or uncle give to nieces and nephews? I mean, Let's talk about the family members covered by that gifting exemption.
Well, actually, Steve, it's not necessarily family members. It's anyone. So, Steve, you could give me $13,000 a year totally gift tax free.
Or Tom could give us both $13,000 a year tax free.
Yeah, and you know what?
I like that idea. Tom, what do you think?
And you know what? Tom and his wife could give us $26,000 a year.
So it's per individual. So it's not limited to family members.
No, but, you know, typically for a spouse, you have an unlimited marital deduction for gifts to spouse, so then we just talk about giving to children, but it's any, you can give anyone up to $13,000 for that exclusion.
So people should start thinking a little bit ahead of the curve here anyway and keeping their eye on what's happening at the federal level. How about the state level? Is that going to be affected here?
Well, Minnesota has no gift tax, and at this point Minnesota has no gift tax, but that of course could change. So right now we're working with clients to make gifts this year to take advantage of that exemption amount. And with the idea that Minnesota right now has no gift tax.
Maybe we could enact a gift tax and pay for a Viking stadium.
Well, there we go.
All right. Well, I'm getting.
That's another show.
All right. A whole nother show. We'll come back soon for that one. All right. Now, another issue that I think folks start to think about when they get into the retirement, pre-retirement era is what happens when one spouse predeceases another, and the concern about making sure that there's enough to care for the surviving spouse and also to ensure that whatever goes to the surviving spouse ends up staying in the family, the children of the couple, rather than perhaps going to a different family, even if there's a second marriage after one spouse predeceases. Are there ways to address that, Cindy?
Yes. We talk to clients often about that. You know, there's always a concern that there would be a second marriage after the first spouse dies, and that ultimately those assets that deceased spouse generated go to the new spouse. And so what we talk about using is a trust arrangement. And a trust would provide, you know, make sure that the spouse is adequately provided for. So at least income, sometimes what we would say is that if the net income isn't at least 5%, that the surviving spouse gets at least 5% of the trust assets each year so that they're protected. And then the trustee would have discretion to make other distributions as situations come up, you know, for health, support, and maintenance. But then the trust terms direct that when the surviving spouse dies, those assets go to the children.
We have one segment to go. It is Cindy Ackman, hosted by Tom Schroyer, Estate Planning for Pre-Retirees. We call it Minnesota Law each and every Saturday between 11 and noon, presented by Moss and Barnett. By the way, we are live at the Pre-Retirement Expo at the Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington, Highway 100 at 494 in Bloomington. The doors are open from now until 6 o'clock tonight, and the event is sponsored by Wealth Enhancement Group, University of Minnesota Physicians, AARP, Buick GMC. There are a number of exhibits here. There are a lot of seminars and, of course, prize drawings and wine tasting as well. So that is all continuing through 6 o'clock today at the Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, here on News Radio 830 WCCO. Welcome back one more time. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss San Bernard. Tom Schroyer, Cindy Ackerman, Estate Planning for Pre-Retirees. Only a couple of minutes left, Tom.
Indeed, Steve. I want to plug next week's show. It'll be Brian Grogan sitting in for me with Shanna Stowbridge to talk about ownership of family vacation homes and the issues that arise on that. And I know that, Cindy, you have that issue that arises in your practice, and that is common ownership of family residences and how to provide for the succession planning on those.
Yes, and I know Shanna will go into more detail next week, but I did want to mention what's called a qualified personal residence trust. And this is a technique for transferring the vacation home or the family home to the next generation at a reduced estate tax cost. And we structure it in a way that allows the family, the parents, to reside in the home and pay rent to their children at no tax cost.
Very good. That's called a qualified personal residence trust.
Yes, or you sometimes hear it called QPERT.
Okay.
And, Cindy, what we've learned is there are a lot of options, but the most important thing is to have a plan, some sort of plan. No plan at all just really isn't acceptable.
That's right. I mean, you really need a plan to carry out your wishes.
And it's not a, I don't believe it's possible to get that plan on the internet.
No, I mean, you're liable to run into trouble. You know, you'll have a plan, and then your family members are going to run into trouble when they try to execute it.
Well, Cindy, it's always a pleasure. The hour goes all too quickly when you join us. Have a good day.
Great. Thanks so much, Steve.
Once again, Tom, next week on the program, Brian Grogan is back.
He is back. He'll be sitting in as the host, and Shanna Strobridge will be here from Moss & Barnett's Business Law Group. She'll be talking about the issues that arise when family members get together and buy that fabled vacation home.
And I've heard of a couple of deals like that. It's not pretty.
It can turn out ugly. That's right.
Tom, always a pleasure as well. Tom Schroyer, Cindy Ackerman. Once again, it's been Minnesota Law, presented by Moss & Barnett, live from the Pre-Retirement Expo at the Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington. Doors are open until 6. We'd love to see you here. Highway 100 and 494.